Good evening. I'm Karen Adebani, and it's just after 6:30 on Wednesday evening, and this evening we're going to be having a debate, a discussion with the candidates for the first district supervisors district, the first district for the supervisors race in Mendocino County. So with me on the air is Glenn McGordy. Glenn, are you there?
I am. Good evening, Karen.
We're doing a voice check here. Try that again. Are you there, Glenn?
Yes, I am.
There we go. Yes, we are. And on the other Zoom picture, which you don't have a picture of, is John Kennedy. John, are you there?
I am here.
There we go. So this is a first for me. I've been doing this for many years. This is the first time I've ever done a Zoom debate. So we're going to go with it. It's going to be a Mendocino County Zoom debate format for the first district. And the first district generally is Potter Valley, Redwood Valley, and to the east towards Lake County. That's pretty much the towns. Oh, I'm sure. And then Calpella. I was told that's how you pronounce that. Okay, so those are the general areas for this district. This was in prior years has been Kerry Brown's district. So that these gentlemen are vying for that seat. So I'm going to put together questions for them after they give us a two-minute intro. Each one of them is going to give us a two-minute introduction of who they are, hopefully why they're running, and what they have to offer as a supervisor. So I've asked each one of them to prepare that as a two-minute intro, and we're going to go alphabetically, so that means John Kennedy's first. John, you want to give us a two-minute intro of who you are and what you have to offer us as citizens of Mendocino County and your district?
I guess I do come alphabetically, both first and last name. Glenn, what's your middle name?
I'm sorry?
Thomas.
Thomas. Okay.
I got you home, I guess. Well, I'm John Kennedy. I am obviously a candidate for county supervisor. This is also my first Zoom debate. And our first world of Zoom in the year 2020. We moved to Mendocino County in 1998 with one child in tow. And I'm originally from Plumas County, grew up in Sonoma County. So my roots are in other counties, but more importantly, my branches, my children, their roots are right here in Mendocino County. I'm a small business owner. I have 5 employees. I run a nonprofit, Rebuilding Now. I'm hoping that thing gets closed up soon, because the whole intent of my nonprofit that I started is to rebuild homes that were lost in the fires for people who were not insured. It's been challenging this year to finish that up with COVID-19. We moved away in 2007 up to Plumas County to be back near our parents. And at that point in time, I was elected county supervisor in Plumas County, and that's where I received some of my experience as a county supervisor. We decided after my term was up that it was time to move back to Mendocino County for many reasons, and it was a good move. And one thing led to another, and I decided that I would run for county supervisor here. I started getting pretty involved in the community more, and I kind of missed it. I missed the job anyway, because the job in Plumas County was probably the most challenging and important jobs I've ever done. It was really challenging because the decisions that you make as a county supervisor are affect so many people, and you have to get it right. So it's one of those things that I miss doing. I wasn't quite done. I now look back, and I think Glenn and I both are wondering why we got ourselves into this after the last year or so.
All right. But well, we're coming up. You got the 2 minutes, so
okay.
You want to do a quick wrap, or is that it? Is that good enough?
No, we'll wrap it up right there.
All right. That's good. Okay. All right. Glenn McGordy, 2 minutes. Why are you doing this? What do you have to offer?
Sure. Okay. So I'm running for a county supervisor because I'd like to lead us in staying healthy and safe here in this wonderful environment and beautiful place that we live in the first district. So we certainly find ourselves in challenging times compared to the primary, which we ended back in March. And with COVID and fires and everything else, it's really changed the landscape literally. I had a 33-year career as University of California farm advisor, helping people grow crops and plants. My specialty was wine grapes, but I also worked with a lot of other crops. So I also, at the same time, served as county director of our office. I'm basically the University of California farm advisors are sort of like on loan to Mendocino County. So I was a county department head. So I've had some experience inside of county government and kind of know the dynamics of how things work. I have considerable knowledge of agriculture, water, natural resources, weather, and the environment, which is real important because the First District is probably the most intensive agriculture district in Mendocino County. And of course, that expertise is useful all over Mendocino County. In terms of other public service, I served as a Ukiah Parks and Recreation Commission back in 1989 through 93, and we did some great things. We brought in the Sun House Museum as a city department and built a new park, and we did the clubhouse for the golf course. And then I also served on the Ukiah Unified School District Board of Trustees through a pretty challenging time, 2009 through 2012. We started with a $3 million deficit and ended up with a nice surplus, and were able to give teachers a raise, and we got a new district office and also a new superintendent. So I was very proud of that. So I also have a small farm along the Russian River, and I live with my wife, Jan, and grow wine grapes, walnuts, and olives organically. And that's basically what I'm all about.
Okay, good. Thanks, Glenn. That's Glenn McGordy. So I'm going to be introducing you each as we go back and forth, because sometimes the voices aren't distinguishable between you two on the air. So this is a question I'm proposing to both of you. We'll go with Glenn to start off. I'm going to be switching back and forth who goes first. You will be sitting as a board, as a supervisor for the whole county, but you'll also be representing your district, the First District, and the needs and the issues that are, you know, individual for that district. So my first question to both of you is just give me, within a minute, what are your three top issues that you feel are facing the First District that you want to help address? Okay, Glenn, why don't you go first? Glenn McGordy.
Well, first of all, it's the First District and everybody else is dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic and trying to get our county back on some sort of a normal footing and get schools working, get businesses back to normal, and do everything we can as county supervisors and the Board of Supervisors to have some sense of normalcy and bring things around, because obviously our lives are really disrupted at the moment. The other really big issue for me is water. Water, water, water. You know, the Potter Valley Project, relicensing it and taking control with probably some sort of a consortium of other people who are interested also in the same resource, and sustainable groundwater management, which I've also been deeply involved with all my career. Finally, is connectivity and communications. It seems to be something that we're really seeing through the pandemic is critically important, because we're trying to educate children at home. The parents are trying to do work via Zoom and other internet resources, and it's very, very difficult to do at the moment.
All right. That's good. That was a minute. All right. John Kennedy, the top three issues you feel are facing your district and that you'd like to work on.
Okay, well, I'm not sure if I have a top three issues, because it's the job of county supervisor just has so much more to that, and I don't really have any particular axe to grind on any particular issues. However, I want to mention that when I hear the what are you going to do for your district and your county, I cringe at that, because the job of county supervisor is to represent the entire county, not just the district. But that being said, we'll discuss that later. The district itself, Potter Valley Project, is probably one of the biggest issues obviously facing the district itself. The county, my biggest issues in the county is to deal with the budget and get back to improving our essential services, which has to do with health and human services, law enforcement, probation, reducing criminal recidivism, and all of the things that are surrounding a $300 million budget that our county is obligated to provide. Now, if I have to step out and say, hey, what else would I like to see happen that's sort of out of the jurisdiction of the County Board of Supervisors that still serves
the members of the district. I'd like to see fire district funding become part of the discussion in budget talks.
All right, that's a minute. We can go back to that under the other topics we have. Okay, so that was a quickie about your district and what you think you can do. So now we're going to broaden it out. You will be on, there are five districts, folks who don't know that. There are five districts in the county, so you will be one of five members on the board of supervisors. So let's go, Glenn, what would be your three top issues that you think are facing the county that they might be different or the same as your district? For the county, what do you think the top three issues are?
Well, some of them are the same. Obviously, COVID-19, the budget's a huge one because we're going to have a giant hole in it with loss of transit occupancy tax and sales tax. So we're going to have to make some really hard choices. The other thing that is probably critically important to the county is just building some better financial capacity, you know, so that people can have living wages and that we have a decent tax base. And I kind of believe that the county has a role in that. I'm involved with Move 2030, which the West Company is doing right now to do some economic planning for the next 10 years. And I've always been involved in the past with things like the Mendocino County Promotion Alliance. So trying to build our financial capacity for living wages so that people can have the real basic necessities of life, like health insurance and afford to live here. And with the subsidiary issue of housing as being also something else that's critically important to all of Mendocino County.
All right. A little timer thing didn't get put over, but that sounds good. We're back here. All right. So let me just do a quick intervention here to say that you are listening to KZUX and Z. I am Karen Ottoboni, and if you just tuned in, you're hearing the candidates for the first district supervisors race in Mendocino County. That's what's going on this evening. We will be going until 8:30. 8:30? 8? Oh, we're going till 8. I'm sorry. That's right. We started at 6:30. Thank you, Alicia Littletree. She's doing the board and keeping me in line here. Alicia Bales, excuse me. We've been knowing each other too many years. So we'll be going till 8 o'clock, and we're hoping that towards the end of the show, probably the last half an hour, 25 minutes, we'll be opening it up to the listeners. At that time, you will get your chance to ask a question of either of these gentlemen. I want to make sure, start thinking about your question now, because I want to make sure you have a question, not a lot of conversation, no going on and on and on, and no attacks. Just get it a nice, succinct question so we can get as much information out of these candidates as possible, so you all will be most informed voters. That is our goal here this evening. So that's what's going on. All right. So what do we've got? Second question goes to John. Yes, that's what we're going to go to. So one of the issues that's come up is the whole COVID is at the top. Both of you talked about COVID. So the question is going to. Oh, wait, John didn't get the second one? I'm sorry. I jumped in. John, I'm sorry you didn't get the second one. Okay, I'm off my game. All right, John, top three issues for the county. There we go.
Okay, I guess I'll just kind of expand on what I was talking about in the beginning part. The budget has always been the top issue of the county because there's a lot to do with the budget, and you can't do that in 1 minute. Explain it. Now, the budget is going to have even a bigger problem now because of COVID-19. Your general fund revenues are going to be diminished, so we're going to have to do some real discussions about priorities of the county. I'm going to just leap right into fire district and fire the rebuilding efforts in Redwood Valley. Some people, I guess, think that that's over. It's not. That's going to be a huge issue still to, one, get people back in their homes, and two, get the tax base back on the tax rolls for property taxes when those homes get rebuilt. Fire district funding. I started talking about it. I'm going to try to finish with that. We need to be more serious about funding fire districts out of the general fund budget, because the fire districts have ultimately ended up having to serve more of a capacity than they have been financially able to in the past. And I see the hourglass, we'll stop there. I can't stop beating that fire district over.
Okay, that's good. So that means you can see me, I just can't see you, and we can hold up our little timer. Okay, fire district. So we've got the COVID is a big issue. We've got fire is a big issue. So let's start with, let's jump to climate change. I've listened to both of you. I've streamed both of your other prior interviews on the station. I am going to state, I believe both of you agree that there is climate change happening. I think you both agree that we see it in the fires that are happening now. We know that the Board of Supervisors have created a climate change committee, and that's happening at the county level. But John, tell us what your opinion is. How, as a county supervisor, can you do a little bit for the county or a lot for the county to help address climate change, because we see it happening?
Well, like I've said before, I'm not one of those guys that thinks climate change is not a real issue. I see climate change personally, 20, 30, oh, shoot, I'm this old. 30 years ago, when we'd go out on strike teams, and I was a firefighter, we used to be able to put out fires because the environment, it was different. The terrain was different. The climate, in addition to practices in the forest, has really devastated our area and made the fire, it made it more dangerous with fires. That is, to me personally, a clear indicator of climate change. As a county supervisor, I guess you can only lead by example. We can, to what degree can the county make an impact with the resources available? Probably not a lot, but we can certainly start by doing something and not ignoring it. And a lot of that's probably advocating at the federal and state level.
All right. Okay. Glenn, I would come back at the same question with you. Climate change, I understand you believe in it. You as a supervisor, is there anything you can feel like you could do locally to move that, you know, help?
Yeah, there is quite a lot we can do locally. So first of all, I think we have to rethink about fire safety, and we spend all of our money putting fires out. I think we have to spend some money about preventing fires by managing our landscape differently than we used to. We've had 70 years of fire suppression. We have national forests that really haven't been touched in 30 years. So some of the things we do locally, some of the things that we advocate, like as John suggested, outside of the county. But certainly managing our landscape differently is important. And we have to remember that healthy forests are a good way to sequester carbon, and Mendocino County could play a very important role in carbon sequestration, both in forests and also in soils. And I've been very active with the Healthy Soils program here in Mendocino County to get farmers to grow more organic matter and crops that fix or sequester carbon. So those are some important things. I think encouraging less reliance on fossil fuels and trying to have the county have a no-fee permit process for solar and not tax solar as improvements as a way of encouraging the use of alternative energy here in Mendocino County would be some things that I would support.
Okay, that's good. All right, let's move on to another question. You guys, we went from fire in climate change, and water was a big issue. We have the whole idea that's been put on the table recently about decommissioning the Scotts Dam, which is in your district, which has PG&E, and decommissioning it. That is in your district, but that is something that the county has to decide to be involved in or not. So, Glenn McGordy, what is your opinion about the Scotts Dam, removing it, and what do we do, or do we do anything?
Yikes. First of all, at a time when we have such undependable rainfall, taking down water storage doesn't seem like the best thing to do. And if you actually look at climatology right now, we're seeing that we're having fewer but bigger storms. So having water storage is something that's absolutely critical. So before we take down Scotts Dam, there's two things I would ask everyone is, first of all, where are we going to put water? Where is it going to be stored? Because we can't expect that water resource to go away. The communities between Potter Valley to Healdsburg are dependent on it. The second thing is, are there other things we can do besides take down Scotts Dam to improve some amount of habitat along the Eel River? That's 172 miles up the river. Surely there's got to be something along the way can also create habitat. And if we go back and we look at legacy problems that were created following things like the flood of 1964, when Caltrans rebuilt the freeways and cut off a lot of habitat, those are the sorts of things that also have to ask before we decide to take down a dam. A lot of studies before we make a move like that.
Okay. Thank you, Glenn. John Kennedy, your thoughts about taking down Scott's Dam and what we should do?
Should I don't believe any of us are in agreement with taking down the dam. I don't think any of the candidates argue over the importance of the Potter Valley Project and how important it is for the flow of the water to continue. Taking down the dam right now is not an actual commitment yet, but it was an agreement to keep the ball rolling for relicensing. A few different jobs of the county supervisor. One is to manage the business under the jurisdiction of the county board of supervisors, health and human services, like I've discussed. And another job of the county supervisor is to defend the county against the state and the federal government. And I don't mean in a militia kind of way. I mean to pay attention to what happens at the federal and state level and be able to be someone who can advocate and know their way around that area. That is something that I have proven to be successful at, advocating for rural counties, suburban counties throughout the state on particular issues. So I have my foot in the door at the state level to try to get to the people we need to talk about. And I see the hourglass. And,
yeah,
you know, it's funny. 1 minute to discuss 4-hour conversations is fun.
Oh, it is. But we're just trying to find out where you stand on Elise. Because there's different approaches to these type of conversations. And this will involve the Board of Supervisors if we decide we're going to do something. So that would be, it's good to know where you guys stand on this. Well, that's what we need to know. Okay, so we're talking about, we've got that done in the water issues. And did you, if you want to go a little bit further than that, Glenn, did you want to add anything more to that? Or did you think you've done it pretty good?
Yeah, the other thing is that it's not just an agriculture issue, it's also an issue for communities. So, in other words, I'm involved with the Sustainable Groundwater Management project that's going on right now, where we're trying to come up with a plan. And Eel River water is tied into Ukiah Valley Basin groundwater, as it is to all the other cities that pump from groundwater along the Russian River. And if Eel River water goes away, it's going to have an impact on urban users, not just agriculture users.
Right, because doesn't Potter Valley get some of their water from that whole dam and all of that? Isn't that part of the agricultural part of it?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. As they irrigate, they have a lot of shallow wells in Potter Valley, which would probably go away if they couldn't flood irrigate the way they do today. And Redwood Valley gets water as a result of that water coming into Lake Mendocino. So our first district is totally dependent on that diversion through the Potter Valley project. You know, the energy is interesting and it is green and we wouldn't have any trouble selling it, but really the prize is the water that comes through the mountain.
Okay, and John, John Kennedy, can you follow up on some of your comments on that, since it is such a big issue and it does relate to everybody over there getting water?
Yeah, I'm going to let Glenn be the guy that is the expert on the water flow and the science behind all this, and I'm just going to be the guy that talks about advocating for what needs to happen to continue a project like this. Potter Valley Project, some candidates may know more than others about whatever, but we all learn from Janet Pauley, and she, you know, she's been the driving force behind this. And the reason she's been the driving force, well, one of the reasons is why she's been out advocating to the public, is ultimately, if we can win the fight and not decommission, we need to figure out where the funds are going to come from. And that's going to take a big movement to convince hundreds of thousands of people that they need to pay money to continue with this project in Marin County, Sonoma County, even here. So
you'd
I'll leave that there.
Okay, good. Well, you'd be looking outside for money. I would hate to see the same thing happen to this project that happened to the Lake Mendocino. that's the only thing I would go back to. You know what I mean?
We don't want to lose our water, for sure. And that's one thing that I vow, is that we will keep that resource in place for perpetuity. As long as our climate's agreeing with us and working, we're going to continue to hopefully have water available for the county.
And John, I would assume you're in similar position there?
Yeah, we just pinky squared on that one.
Oh, great. Okay, we got pinky squares on the Zoom call. Yes, we like this. This is what we call a Mendocino County debate. This is like a get down, figure it out. Okay, so we're in the time of COVID. You're talking about the budgeting. It's really hard. We're spending a lot of money. A lot of money is going out, but there's not a lot of money coming in either. So one of the things that is happening is the budget and our economy, the income coming in. The small businesses are getting hit. Oh, I got to do it. The small businesses are getting hit really hard. So, John Kennedy, I'd like to hear from you and then from Glenn. How is a board, sitting as a supervisor on the board, what kind of creative ideas or what power do you have as a supervisor to help our businesses, you know, not only basically right now just survive? What do you think you can do, or how would you work for this if you were elected?
Can we agree to have more than a minute on this one?
Yes, you can have. I will give you a minute, 2 minutes to do that, and Glenn, you can get 2 minutes too, because this is a big issue. We have small businesses. Yeah. It's hitting the small businesses harder. I got to tell you, I don't think Safeway and Walmart are getting hit as hard as our small businesses. And is there anything you as a supervisor can do, would do, and plan on doing?
Okay, so hopefully you're just now turning over that hourglass.
We did. You got to go.
COVID is a wake-up call for us to prioritize our biggest problems. And I'm gonna take this from the perspective as an actual business owner. I have 5 employees. COVID has absolutely affected us negatively. I had to borrow $150,000 to get through. We kept our employees working. It's been a strategy, and not just the economic part, but to keep our employees safe and exposed minimally, and to keep our clients exposed. So I've had to do a lot of juggling. I've had to work a lot in trying to strategize what we can do to stay busy. And when I look back and say, what could the county have done for me? That answer is absolutely nothing in terms of my business. And I know this because I've been a county supervisor, and I don't know what we could have done to help me. When I look at the efforts that we have for rebuilding, and we need the county resources for building and planning, I have a lot of suggestions for the county to have improved their response to that. Really, it's a matter of the community doing what the community does in terms of being able to help ourselves survive. I do believe that I don't want to be a Monday morning quarterback on this COVID thing with the Board of Supervisors. It's probably our first worldwide pandemic that we're having to deal with. But I do believe that there could have been better critical thinking if we would have had more board members that actually experience the same things that most people in our community experience in terms of being self-employed and understanding when an hourglass is put up in front of your face. I'll stop talking.
All right. Thanks. Okay, that was John Kennedy. Okay, Glenn, what do you think the supervisors, if they can do anything, what would you do to help small businesses and get us back on track?
I think first and foremost is that we need good science in terms of knowing who's getting sick and where they're getting sick and why they're getting sick. And we didn't really have great testing. And I think going forward, there's some pretty promising stuff that's coming out now from about antigen testing, which is going to be so quick and fast. It's sort of like a litmus test. And usually when we have like a invasion of an exotic pest in agriculture, we try to delineate where is the population that's getting sick. And I don't know that we've done a great job on that, and not just Mendocino County, but all over. But certainly, I think the Board of Supervisors tried pretty hard to mount a really good offense against the disease, and we've done okay. We certainly set up a good emergency operations center and try to communicate effectively what's going on with the disease. But we could use a little bit more precision about, who's getting sick and why they're getting sick, because it's not uniformly distributed all over the place. And I agree with John that it's been really tough on people. I'm thinking especially with parents who are having to stay home and work and educate their kids. That just seems really inefficient. And if we were able to get
more rapid testing, where you could test daily, you could figure out very quickly who's sick and who isn't, and isolate them. And that's around the corner. I mean, that's not, I'm not dreaming this up. And that's what I think the county can take some leadership in public health. That's why I'm glad that Dr. Andy Korn's coming on board, because he's a good doc and pays close attention to those kinds of developments. Also, I think that helping people where we can through things like the West Company with the myriad of loans and other regulations that came through to try to help support businesses is something the county could have played a little bit bigger role in. And I would have, if I were on the Board of Supervisors, I'd be following that really, really closely to make sure that our small businesses don't go under. We have a huge hole in our budget because of it.
All right. All right. We're coming up on the top of the hour. It's just 1 minute or so after 7 o'clock. You are listening to KZYZ, Philo 90.7 FM and KZYX. KZYZ Willits in Ukiah 91.5. Got those mixed up. It's been a long time. And also you up in Fort Bragg are listening to us on 88.1 FM. We are Mendocino County Public Broadcasting, and I have as guests this evening Glenn McGordy and John Kennedy. They're running for the first district supervisor's position, and we're asking questions of them to get an idea of what their skills are, what they bring to the job if elected, and how they're going to help us in this county. So we're going to move on with questions. Coming up at 7:30, we will open the lines for the listeners. Have your questions ready. Get them in and get them fast and get them succinct so we can get as much information as possible out of these gentlemen. Okay, so another big one for the county you were talking about, came up a couple of times, is public safety. That would be the sheriff's department. That would be that. Be the big one would be public safety. And the sheriff is working really, really hard now with the fires and evacuations and what's going on with that. Budgeting for the sheriff's department has been an interesting with the Board of Supervisors. So when it comes to budgeting, the sheriff's department always runs over. We pay it because we need to. That's part of the budget. So John, you talked about public safety being one of your main issues. Explain to me how you see public safety as a board member, how you would handle that, how do you handle the budgeting over at the sheriff's department, and where are your priorities with that? There you go. So, there goes the timer.
Yeah.
How about we give you a minute? How about we give you 2 minutes on this one, too, because this is a big, broad one. So we'll do 2 minutes on that for each of you. So there you go. John.
Yeah, I'm trying to better wrap my mind around the actual question dealing with the budget of the county or the sheriff's office, but I'll go for it.
What is important to you? What's your priorities for the sheriff's department, and then how the heck do you pay for it?
Yeah, it's important to me for our sheriff's department to be able to afford to do what they do. So I blend health and human services in with the law enforcement, because the better we do with partnering with law enforcement, health and human services, dealing with the vulnerable and the volatile, the easier it is for the law enforcement in the future. I know that's a Pollyanna way of looking at things, but the reality is this county, I used to tease our sheriff in Plumas County and tell him that most times the deputies could just have one bullet in the pocket like Barney Fife. Here it's a little different. It's a lot different than when it was 22 years ago when I moved here. It's a lot different in just the last 10 years. We have a serious violent criminal problem, not as bad as other areas, and we need to make sure that the sheriff's department is adequately funded. But what's really important is normally when we start to talk budgets, department heads love me until I get to their department because I ask them hard questions. It's really important to understand the entire sheriff's budget and how to work with the sheriff to make sure that they can use all the funds they have available to achieve the goals that we have in law enforcement. That's talking about AB 939 funds. That's talking about AB 109 funds, SB 678, that helps with probation and reducing criminal recidivism. It's really important for the Board of Supervisors, a member of the Board of Supervisors, to understand every budget item or every budget of all departments, so you can have
intelligent discussions and ask hard questions back and forth to department heads to make sure we're achieving the goals. I'm just going to stop there because they're just...
It was perfect. You're on time right there. You got your 2 minutes. Okay. Okay. Glenn McGordy, public safety, sheriff's department, budgeting, priorities. How are you going to handle that?
The sheriff's department is obviously critically important when you have a county like ours that's sparsely populated and has, you know, a criminal element that is very threatening sometimes. And the need to have the sheriff's deputies there is critical. And part of what makes it expensive sometimes is that they're chronically understaffed because they train up young deputies, they get offered jobs elsewhere, and they leave. So they end up having to do overtime, which is expensive. And I think that that's one of the issues that probably has to be addressed. And in general, what John said is absolutely right, too, that they're understanding their budget, having good discussions, not putting people on the defensive. They go through equipment. It's a rough place to drive a vehicle, and accidents happen. Deer get in the way. You know, looking in the county yard, I always remember at least once a quarter there would be something that got damaged, and it's because we operate under some pretty intense conditions here, weather and climate wise, in Mendocino County with not great roads. And so anyway, it costs to run a department. I mean, it's just the price of living in a rural area like this. They're expected to drive a lot. There's not a lot of them. Their staffing has remained pretty constant over the last three decades, and we probably really need more money for law enforcement than we're allocating relative to what we're expecting them to do.
Okay. Any more you want to add to that, Glenn?
No, that's it.
That's good. That was good. You did less than 2 minutes. John, any addition to what you've heard? Any other additional comments? Just a quick comment or two?
No, if I have to rehearse what I just said in my head, I have a lot of assembly bills and Senate bills stuck in my head, and I think I might have said AB 939, which is a recycling bill, but it really meant AB 443.
That's okay. I doubt many of the listeners, like myself, knew which one you were talking about.
I just did a correction, autocorrect.
Okay, autocorrect. Okay, sounds good. And we will go, because talking about the sheriff, there's that brings me over, just because there's been a lot going on today about it. We have cannabis. We have a whole cannabis culture in Mendocino County. It's been here for years. It's morphed in different directions. We've been trying to integrate it and regulate it and get it part of our economy in the county with the cannabis ordinances and all the stuff that's been going on at the supervisor's level. This has been a big issue. It's taken a lot of time on the supervisor's agendas the last several months. I don't know if either of you have been following it. I hope you both have. Because I'd just like to have, I guess Glenn will start with you because I started with John before. Glenn McGordy, have you been following the cannabis? I mean, how do you see cannabis production, regulation, and the ordinance and all of that that's been going on with the county? We've all been watching it. Now they're trying to do more and different things with it. How do you feel cannabis fits into our community and how we should go about it at the supervisor's level? And that's a 2 minute one. That's a long one. So
sure. It's a long one. So, you know, it is part of Mendocino County. I think of it as an agricultural crop, but of course it's in a really funny world because it's illegal in part of the United States. So that puts all sorts of restrictions on it. And then what makes it more complicated is that there's state regulations and there's local regulations, and the rollout of the program is far less than smooth. I watched it happen across the aisle, across the hallway in the Department of Ag when I was working as a UC Farm Advisor. And it was very, very difficult on their staff. They went through a lot of people. They went through several ag commissioners. And it still doesn't seem to be working very effectively. The black market is still working really, really strong because there doesn't seem to be an easy way to get through some of the process of getting your licenses and permits and paying your taxes. So, you know, it obviously needs some help and some fixing. And for me, it's pretty straightforward. You need to grow it where it's legal. You need to get your permits. The permits need to be obtainable, you know, and with some of the resource agencies that are state level that come in, it makes it very, very difficult and expensive for people to go through what they have to do. And, you know, there's, I guess, about 900 potential permits, only 200 have made it all the way through. There's 700 kind of in limbo, and there's a huge black market where people are just saying, no one's really enforcing anything, so why should I bother? I'll just go ahead and continue to grow like we always have. So those are some of the major issues. And then the other part that's tough is that when you do have an illegal grow and they're really breaking the rules, code enforcement is done through the planning department. And, you know, that's probably not the most efficient way. Probably law enforcement has to have a role in this as well. And it's just one of these kind of evolving things that really needs attention.
Okay. John Kennedy, same question. Cannabis, how does it fit into the county, the regulation, the whole thing that's going on? Comments.
Okay, so when we talk about cannabis, I get a negative physiological effect, seriously, because it irritates the hell out of me the way that we've been handling this. We spend so much time on cannabis, and I say we, 6 hours at the board level discussing cannabis, and all along we have this whole health and human service issue that we keep ignoring. And it's real. I think we need to take a big pause and reflect on how it's gone so far, and it's not good. I think the county made a mistake by trying, and the state too, by trying to make the cannabis industry a profit center instead of just simply recovering costs. I'm not an advocate or an opponent of the cannabis industry. I'm just here to deal with local government, how it's supposed to serve the people. We don't need to make licensing more difficult than the state already makes it. We need to duplicate the same process that the state requires. We have no business trying to expand the cannabis program when we haven't been successful with what we started. Before we master the magnificent, we need to rule the routine, and we haven't been able to do that. If anything, if we need to advocate at all, we need to advocate for it to become legal, so cash can be deposited in the bank, so that economy, that finance economy, can also blossom. And to the cannabis industry, it's not local government's job to carve a path to success for you. But it's definitely not government's job to make it more difficult than it needs to be. Adopt rules and regulations that keep our communities safe and our environment clean, and I'm good with it. Simplify this thing.
All right. Well put. Any comeback, Glenn? Good with it?
I'm good with it. I think John and I are on the same page on this.
Well, it's been a big issue, and it's taken up a lot of our supervisor's time. So it means that you guys will be, one of you will be dealing with it very shortly, I guess. All right, we're going to continue on with the questions. Okay, we keep talking about, I want to get into the idea of housing and homelessness. There's a big project the county just took on. The supervisors all voted in favor of. It's called Project, let me get my notes here, Home Key. They got a $9.6 million grant from the state, and they purchased a hotel, motel, to help with the housing industry and homeless type of project. So I'm going to start with John Kennedy this time, because this is one of your major issues. Would you have voted for that? And when we get the money, what are going to be, because you're going to have oversight, the supervisors will have oversight of this huge grant. What would be your priorities in the oversight and how it's being spent? So we'll give you, it's a big project because it talks about homeless. So let's do another 2 minute on that one, okay? Because you can expand it whatever you want. So what do you think of the Home Key project and the big grant we just got?
Okay, so the Home Key project, would I have voted on it? I can't answer that question because most of that was in, most of the discussion about buying the hotel was in closed session, and it's a real estate transaction. So we can only opine from what we read on angry people Facebook posts. But the bulk of the Home Key funding has to be spent by December 2020. So sometimes we run into these areas that we have to make a decision and sometimes go with the gut and maybe not completely get all the data that you should get to make the decision. And the funding would not be available unless we closed escrow by December 2020. So you have to find a place to buy. And these funds are mostly from the CARES Act. This is COVID funds and the state. So I don't believe any of the general fund was spent from the county. I believe there was some funds set aside for homeless housing. So it wasn't from the general fund. So there was probably funds used from the county. So I want to make sure that people know that this is not a homeless shelter, though, and it's not free housing. It's not going to solve the homeless encampment issues or problems, but the folks that are going to be housed in this are folks that already have a case manager, and they already qualify for assistance, meaning they probably have children or they're mentally ill or some issue. I don't, contrary to some popular belief, this is not going to be a shelter where the folks who are uncontrollable are going to just show up. I'm leaning right into my 2 minutes, I know, but there's more to talk about for homeless itself. I've said this before. I wish we could stop talking so much about economic development and more about compassionomic development when it comes to the homeless.
All right. Good point. Glenn McGordy, the whole Home Key project that we got involved with. What would be your priorities for oversight? And is it a good deal? We're moving forward with it. You're going to have to manage it.
Yeah, it is. It is grant money. And so it is another situation where you have to do or die on the grant. Either you execute it and get things done, or you lose the money. And unfortunately, more and more, that's the way county government gets to be run. So it's really important that when we get into grant situations, we've got competent people to really run the grant system. And this is something that's been a problem for Mendocino County, just kind of a lack of capacity sometimes to execute efficiently. And all we have to do is look at Measure B as an example of that. I think that dealing with homelessness, the first thing you have to recognize is it's not a monolith. I mean, there's people who are homeless for many different reasons. Some of them are just financially insecure. And having a place for them to go, I think, is what this exercise is about. People who can't get that first and last month's rent together and deposit. So I do support that, and it needs to be managed well. I look at the Willow Terrace project as something that I think the county can be proud of, that has worked well. So having some kind of order in place and oversight when we do projects like this is really critical, because the neighbors are really nervous when you start bringing in homeless people, and they want to be sure they're not creating some kind of a scary experience for the rest of the neighborhood. So it's really important that the Board of Supervisors take that responsibility seriously and make sure that there's measures in place to not impact the neighborhood if we're going to do a project that involves homeless people. And kind of sort out what are reasons that people are homeless, and kind of match services accordingly. So that's something that I think is very important as we address homeless issues. And there has to be some compassion in it too, because these are human beings in the end. Especially when we're dealing with people who are mentally ill, there's very few diseases where we just kind of toss them on the side of the road. We wouldn't do that with cancer patients, but we tend to do that with people who are mentally ill.
All right. Thank you, both of you. All right. So we're about 20 minutes after 7. Give us another 10 minutes, and we will open the lines to callers, listeners, for questions. I want to talk about, you're talking about compassion. Both of you are talking about compassion and dealing with compassionate things and the sheriff and all of that. But these are issues that take money. This is going to cost us. These are things that we all would love to do and get all the homeless off. But even with this Home Key project, there are to manage it and to go forward with it, I have a feeling that there will be county money involved. So, Glenn, give me an idea of how do you line up personally your priorities when you're looking at the county budget? Because I went through the budget process. I watched the county supervisors go through the budget process. And how would you, as a supervisor sitting there, what would be your priorities when you've got so little funds to deal with?
Yeah, that's really the tough thing. I mean, the first things are you have to go through the mandated parts of the budget and take care of those and make sure that the things that the state is expecting you to take care of with restricted funds are taken care of. And then what's left over, and it's going to be kind of slim, the next coming budget years, is you have to more or less do what's called capital rationing. If you can't do everything, what are the most important things that you do, and you have to prioritize. So that's why I think it's important we're going to be living by a lot of granting opportunities, because that's just the way that California government is going. So we really have to have a strong contracts and grants approach to doing business. And I really support, like the University of California does, we have an Office of Contracts and Grants that works with people who are, first of all, writing grants to make sure that they get them, and second of all, then administer them and make sure that we get all the way through and then get paid out and get to use our money wisely. In addition to that, building financial capacity is something else that's really, really important. And we have to have some sort of an investment mentality of trying to figure out, okay, we have a lot of needs and expenses, but we also have a lot of creativity in our community, and we have to figure out how do we get businesses going and moving and sustain them. What is the magic formula that makes people want to do business here in Mendocino County? What's the attraction? And it's not just, you know, small entrepreneurs, but it's also the bigger businesses that we have that fill up Airport Park, you know, and all of that together kind of creating a sense that Mendocino County is a place to come and shop and, you know, enjoy, so that we are making income along with spending it.
All right, that's good. Okay, John Kennedy, your response to budgeting priorities, not much money coming in and a lot of money going out, and you've got some great ideas. What do you do? How do we do that?
So when you asked the question initially, I thought you were more referring to kind of expanding on this new project coming up, because we had granted, but there's going to be some additional unfunded mandates, I suppose, is what you're
correct
thinking about. So,
but we have a lot of unfunded mandates in the county.
Yeah.
So how do you balance those as a supervisor in budgeting?
We do, and that's that part of that job that I was talking about, where you have to, part of your job is defending your county against the state and the feds, and making sure that you're paying attention to these mandates that are coming down the road. For instance, this particular item at the with the Home Key program, that additionally, the funds that we're able to purchase, there's $1,000 per room per month that's going to be paid to the county for 2 years. So there are some additional funds for that. When we talk about, when we wrangle over budgets, we do most of the wrangling over the general fund budget, which is the smallest amount of the budget, and the majority of the budget, the $300+ million, is through the federal government and state. And honestly, the programs are set up, if you're doing a good job at serving the people under the legal under the legal requirements that we're supposed to serve, we leverage federal funds and you typically don't fall too short if you're handling that. So where you fall short is your general funds, and that's where you see all the arguing. That's where it comes out in the public, where we talk about funding the law enforcement and probation and juvenile hall. Those are mostly general funds, and that's where all the fight is. So not that we don't have issues with the other funds that come in for health and human services, basically, and you have to pay attention to that. I think the problem we had is we're not paying enough attention to those budget units, and we're not providing the services we're supposed to. But I saw the hourglass, so
that's good. That's good points that we want to talk about. Glenn, any comments on what was said? Just giving you some time to follow up.
That is always the issue, is being able to follow through with what we're mandated, and to have adequate funding to do what we're mandated, because sometimes we fall short for various reasons. Sometimes there's more demand for particular services than we're able to do. And that's something that requires paying a lot of attention, requires some oversight and discussion from the Board of Supervisors to individual department heads, which I don't always see happening as smoothly as it could. And it's hard to know sometimes what's going on individually in some of the departments and their budget units, because you just don't always get the information in a timely manner.
Okay. John, follow up on that one?
I think I've pontificated enough on that.
Okay, sounds good. Well, because I will say to both of you, this has come up about the contracts. There was one discussion not too long ago at the Board of Supervisor Chambers about how many contracts the county actually has with outside agencies and the oversight and all of that. So that kind of leads us back to strategic planning and where you would be. Let's start with John. John, where would you be with strategic planning, doing a strategic plan that's been talked about to get priorities, to get us on a track, possibly? Is that something you'd bring to the board?
Yes.
Let's do a 1 minute on that one. Let's try to make that one good.
Okay. In fact, our current continuum of care, who's just provided a strategy to deal with the homeless. It's the first time that they've done that. And it's really important to plan to plan ahead without just willy-nillying our systems. And that takes collaboration. It takes county supervisors that also understand reading contracts and budgets. And I would never want to go against Glenn when we're talking about the proper mitigation of isonucleating bacteria or the proper pruning procedures or whatever. But I can tell you what I am an expert at, and that is budgeting and contract interpretation and deliverables from partners that are required to perform on their contracts. So I'm kind of tangential on this, but it's very important for us to come up with written strategies to address our issues.
Okay. Glenn McGordy, strategic planning, how do you see the county and how would you be involved in that?
Oh, it's absolutely essential. And I fought with Ukiah Unified School District to do strategic planning, and there was a lot of resistance, and you need a plan. I mean, especially when you're talking about spending tons and tons of money, and you have to have a sense of where you want to go and what your goals and objectives are and the strategies and your budgets to get there. All those things are critical. And even when you're studying isonucleating bacteria, I did that on a grant, and I had to write a grant, and I had to do deliverables, and I had to have somebody manage with me. And so I know very much about grant writing and execution, probably in a different way than John does, because it was more in the vein of science and research. But yes, strategic planning is very, very important. The University of California does one every 5 years. And if you're going to move forward into the future, it's critical. And if you don't plan, you can't expect to get anywhere, is my opinion.
Okay, good points. Let's move on real quick to do 1 minute each on mental health in the county. And Proposition B, we all voted for that. It's not been manifested. There's been a lot of committee work. Glenn, Measure B, your comments, your concerns. How do you think we're doing?
Oh boy.
Yeah, we'll give you. We'll give you 2 minutes on this one because it is a big one.
Yeah. So Measure B is really a wonderful idea, and I support it wholeheartedly. I just admire everybody, Tom Allman and Nami and my wife and everybody else who worked hard to get Measure B passed, because right now, if you're mentally ill in Mendocino County, it's not very easy for you to get treatment. And the promise of Measure B was huge. I think they had a good start with the Kemper report, kind of laid out some directions they could go, and it just seems like they can't get together to agree to do stuff, and it hasn't moved along in a cohesive way, and I'm not really sure why. I think that there could be a little bit more attention from the present board on it, and future boards definitely have to be involved, because there's time limits on things, and And I don't think that they're going to meet their time limits the way that stuff is going along, the way the process has been. So the training center that the sheriff wanted is something that's not completed, and we need a budget to get that done. The crisis response center.
Residential treatment.
And residential treatment are all things that just aren't getting off the ground. And, we don't want to get stuck in consultant hell here, but at some point we have to come up with a good plan and execute. And this is a good example of what I mean about how important it is when we have contracts to make progress and keep moving forward.
Would that be something you'd be sitting on a committee? Would you be actively involved in that? Just a quick comment.
Oh, yeah. You bet. Yeah, it's something that needs doing, and it needs some leadership, and it needs somebody who can, first of all, having a committee of 15 to try to decide anything is very, very difficult. The committee structure is not perfect. Over the years, I found smaller committees usually are a lot more nimble about getting things done.
All right. Okay, John Kennedy, mental health, Measure B. Give us your comments, concerns, maybe what you would be doing about it.
Okay, so when I read the list of topics that you guys sent out, we were talking about it, I looked at it, and I have a sarcastic way about me, and I said to myself, oh, good, Measure B in mental health's been cured because it's not on the list.
Sorry about that.
So we want to start by thanking Tom Allman, right? And he gets enough praise all over the world, but he spearheaded this. I completely supported Measure B. I don't think it's the panacea to fix our problem, but it's certainly get the ball rolling. We have dropped the ball, I think, for some of the reasons, like Glenn even said, 15 people on a board. I don't know about that. You get differing views. And I don't think the Board of Supervisors has been really... they haven't been paying attention. You know why they haven't been paying attention? Because you spend so much time on cannabis and you spend so much time on the general fund dollars, and you don't pay attention to the health and human services that we're supposed to pay attention to. So Lee Kemper report, I've read it. I know Lee Kemper personally. I worked with Lee Kemper when he worked on our mental health department in Plymouth County. I have helped write the MHSA plan. I am knee deep into mental health. I have forgotten over the time. Over how long has it been? Almost 10 years that I've been a county supervisor, I think. I don't know. I tended to lean away from general fund issues and dealt with the people issues, the mental health, the health and human services. So I am really familiar with the funding of mental health through MHSA and mental health. I'm passionate, as you can probably tell, about trying to do better for the mentally ill. We have family members that are cursed with mental illness. It's an emotional topic for me. And I will absolutely indeed, even if I'm not elected, be involved in the mental health future.
Great.
Our county.
All right. Thank you. All right. We've come up on, it's like 7:34. Which we've gone past the half an hour. Just give you a quick heads up. I am Karen Ottoboni, and if you've just tuned in and wonder what the heck is going on, we have both candidates for the first district race for supervisor for Mendocino County. That would be Glenn McGordy and John Kennedy. And we're going to actually open up the phone lines for the listeners. That would be 895-2448. I am asking you to have your question ready. Make it as easy as possible. No pontificating, no attacks, no ranting or raving, and we're just going to cut you off because that's not what we're here about. We're trying to find out about these gentlemen and their skills and their desire to run for supervisor right now, this minute, in Mendocino County. So that's 895-2448. If you have a question for Glenn McGordy or John Kennedy. So we will be going forward until the phone lines start ringing, 895-2448. This is for the first district supervisors race. Okay. So one of the things is we keep talking about priorities. We talk about, do we have a call? Oh, I can't see the flashing light. Sorry about that. Thank you, Alicia Bales, for doing this board for me, and we're going to get our first caller. Good morning, caller. Good evening. I'm used to being on in the morning. Good evening, caller. You're on the air. Your question for the candidate.
How
how will they support the tribal communities in Mendocino County?
The what communities?
The tribal community.
Oh, tribal. There we go. Thank you so much. All right. Let's go with Glenn McGordy. How are you going to help support the tribal communities, the Native Americans in Mendocino County?
Well, you know, all the obvious things that in a way the board of supervisors don't have some control over, which is education, I think is absolutely critical, and making sure that young children are included and educated well and have a future because they complete school and move on and have productive lives here in the community. On another way is I'm very interested in the cultural history of Native Americans on our property. We have a basket grass forest, and we have about 20 weavers that come from all the way from Sonoma County to Humboldt County to gather basket weaving materials. And there's not a lot of places where they can go and collect. So on a personal level, I've been really supportive of weavers and the Grace Hudson Museum, which is trying to preserve their culture and their history, and I, you know, want them to be proud of their heritage and where they came from, and also have people in our community know about them and recognize them for the contributions that they've made. Looking back on some of their methods of managing the landscape is like with fire or something we can go back and relearn.
All right. And John Kennedy, how are you going to help the tribal community?
First of all, thank you for that call, whoever that was.
Yes.
It rarely makes it to the forefront, this topic, and it irritates me. For a short time, I worked for actually the Northern Circle Indian Housing Authority as the construction manager, and I have gone to the state and the federal side to advocate for continued NAHASDA funding, which is the Native American Housing and Self-Determination Act. I believe at the county level, it's really important to advocate, like part of that job that I was talking about of defending our county. That includes our tribal communities. And it takes a strong voice at the federal level, especially now for obvious reasons, to make sure that we continue the guaranteed funding to provide housing and improving the housing for the tribal members. I was at a meeting and a county supervisor made,
you can finish up. We're just giving you, go ahead, finish the sentence.
A county supervisor, I'm not going to say who it was, but it made a comment about tribal properties that don't pay property tax, so it's really hard to fund certain services. Irritated the hell out of me, but I kept my mouth shut because I was smart at that point in time.
Okay.
The services that we need to deliver to the health, to the tribal communities is not generally funded. It's funded through Health and Human Services. So we can do a lot to improve what we do for the tribal communities.
All right. And we've got more callers coming in. So we're going to get those. Oops, that one's gone. Let's get our next caller. Good evening, caller. What's your question for our candidates?
Good evening. Thank you so much for taking my call. This may be an unfair question. I'm going to ask it anyway to both of the candidates. Who did you vote for or against in the last presidential election? Thank you.
We'll go for it. Sure. John?
I will answer that question specifically. I wrote in my son's name as the president, Aaron Kennedy, and I wrote in our dog, Scooby, as the vice president. There's your answer.
All right. Glenn McGordy, are you feeling comfortable asking that question?
This is a nonpartisan race, but I will say that I did vote for the Democratic candidate.
Okay. It is a nonpartisan race, folks, so that's what we want to know. All right. Let's get another caller in. Good evening, caller. What is your question for our candidates?
Good evening. My question is about recycling in California Redemption. I noticed that a lot of the places have closed around Ukiah and around our county to be able to get money back for your recycling. And it seems like a lot of that revenue is still being paid at the counter. What can we do on a county level, or is there a way to push the state to bring that back to our area a little bit wider? I know that some folks thought that it might be also contributing to our homeless population, but I don't think it is, since it's been closed now for a little while and doesn't seem to be as related, I think, as most people thought. So,
all right, we'll get that window. All right, recycling, Glenn McGordy. The redemption centers.
Recycling. It's supposed to be mandated, so I don't understand why we're not doing it. It's such a no-brainer, and it was something that we're paying a fee on for recycling containers, and I'm kind of trying hard to figure out why that's not happening. I don't think it's a county situation. I think it's more involved in that, and I don't know what the Board of Supervisors can do necessarily to make something happen.
John, your comment around that question?
I believe Gizmo, because that's the name of the person who called. I know that voice anywhere. Is talking possibly about the CRV.
Yes, he's talking about the redemption centers, correct.
Yeah, redemption centers. So, yeah, there is something that can be done, and it's really making a lot of noise, and hopefully you get someone to hear, because it's really unfair that we still go in and pay the fee when you buy these containers, and then there's nowhere to replace it. I think crisis come aboard and they hide the issues like this. This, you know, I guess it's a small issue, but there is something to be done in regards to advocating at the state level to start requiring redemption in certain areas. And the county does have contracts with our solid waste providers. And there could be some larger dialogue regarding that. I don't have the answer.
Okay, that's okay. But yeah. You'd be doing something. All right. There aren't any callers on the air right now, so I'm going to throw 895-2448 if you have a question for the supervisor candidates for the 1st District. We're going till 8 o'clock. I am going to give them a chance to wrap up shortly. But we have a caller. All right, you saved me, caller. Good evening, caller. What's your question for the candidates?
Yes, and I want to thank them for their honest answer on the question. I don't think that nonpartisan exists in this country anymore, and it's going in a more difficult direction.
Do you have a question?
So I want to thank them for their answers, and that will determine who I vote for.
All right,
thank you.
That one's up. So, that wasn't quite a question, but we let it go. Okay, we don't have any callers right now. 895-2448. I'm going to jump in with a question that I know the listeners can't see the Zoom and what's going on, but both of you are older white men, and you're going to be sitting on as supervisors of this county. And for me, this COVID has really pushed forward the idea that we have a very diverse community, and we have this whole group of Hispanic, Latinx, whatever you want to call it, that is here, has been here, is growing, and has a big issues. And how is you, sitting as a supervisor, how can you get this county to move forward and recognize this community and integrate them better for services, for everything? Any ideas about that, Glenn McGordy? You got a good minute on that one.
Okay, so first of all, I go back to my thing on education and how important that is. And again, supervisors aren't necessarily responsible for that. But I think the other thing is, when we can, particularly in the COVID crisis, making sure that they have access to good information is critical. They've been kind of a hot spot for disease, and in part because a lot of them don't speak English well, a lot of them don't read and write well, even in Spanish. So it's been really hard to kind of communicate with them, the seriousness in some cases, and they live together in close spaces economically because housing is so expensive here in Mendocino County. So just again, paying attention and making sure that as we look at delivering services to them, that it's done in a way that they can understand what's going on. And that was part of their concern. I know they went before the Board of Supervisors to talk about that, about the fact that they don't feel like they're getting information that needs to be improved in terms of communications.
All right, John, your feelings about that? John Kennedy.
My feelings as an old white guy?
Yeah, there you go.
So I joke, but in a serious way, that when a bunch of white guys are up on a panel talking about things like this, it actually makes me sad and wish that there were less white guys. It's kind of like a bunch of guys talking about pro-choice. We discussed COVID and this issue. It's clear COVID has not only exposed inequities due to social determinants of health and its disproportionate impact on essential workers and low-wage earners, it has also exposed the weaknesses in our government's collaboration, planning, partnerships, and all of that. As an old white guy, si hay alguien que necesita que hablar español, yo puedo. So I don't have an issue with the communication with Hispanic folks because I speak the language. I employ 5 members of the Hispanic community, and there's an hourglass there.
That's okay. Just finish up. Make it short.
So I wholeheartedly support a government that is more diverse, and I wholeheartedly support advocating stronger to make things more equitable for all.
All right. There you go. Now, we're going to get a listener call. Good evening, listener. You're on the air. What is your question for the candidates?
Yeah, I came in late, so I missed most of this. I don't know if this has been addressed, but what would the supervisors do to rein in the avaricious acquisition of power by the CEO, Carmel Angelo, and what would they do to make the county more responsible and responsive, not just to the citizens, but to the rank-and-file workers?
All right.
There seems to be some underlying animosity going on. Thank you.
All right, let's do that. We're going to start with John Kennedy. You're going to get a minute to address that real quick.
Yeah, the only opinion I have on that is I don't have an opinion because I haven't worked with Carmel Angelo in that capacity. I only know hearsay. Glenn has worked in the county. Maybe he has more to offer. It's an interesting question. I have worked with Carmel Angelo in other areas. I worked with her before I came back to this county. I sat on the board of directors at the California State Association of Counties. Carmel, and so did Kerry Brown. Carmel Angelo does more for this county at that level, advocating for the betterment of this county than any board of supervisors that sat on that. Now I want to talk about, let's just go into department heads. I'm just going to talk about the business, building and planning. I believe we could do a better job with the line staff that compassionately wants to help people, but they have really poor management and poor communication coming down to help them do their job, and no roll up your sleeve support. So.
All right. Okay. Glenn McGordy, that question about the CEO and the interaction.
So I got to be department head under 2 different regimes. One of them was under Mike Scannell when we had a CAO system, and the other was under Carmel and in a CEO system. And I kind of preferred the CAO system because I felt that the Board of Supervisors had a little bit more direct communications with department heads, which right now Carmel is kind of a filter. I don't know if it's intentional or just the way things work. But I also don't like the fact that the Board of Supervisors don't really seem to have a dedicated staff that helps them. The clerk of the board works for Carmel, so the meetings should be the Board of Supervisors meetings, not the CEO's meetings. And I don't completely understand the dynamics there. But I think there would be a good case for, at some point, looking at a reorganization of how the dynamics of Mendocino County work at the top, so that there's a way of knowing more of what's going on in individual departments, whether it's budget or personnel or whatever, because I'm not sure that the supervisors are always getting the best information.
Okay. He did great on the time. All right. So we're coming up on 10 minutes before the end of this show. The lines are open, 895-2448. We can get one quick one in, but other than that, we may be going to do a quick wrap-up. What I want to do is, you guys have been really passionate about this position. You're both coming to it with different skills. Let me go to Glenn McGordy first. Is there an issue that we haven't covered tonight that you just want to give us a minute that's important to you, that you think the listeners need to know that it's important to you? So go for it. What we haven't covered, real quick, Glenn?
We haven't really talked a lot about conservation of our landscapes and keeping the kind of the ecological nature of Mendocino County intact, you know, forest management and protecting agricultural land and doing things that kind of preserve the character of Mendocino County that we love so much. You know, our forests are in kind of having some critical issues right now between fire and legacy problems from clear cutting years ago, and they're a little bit out of balance. We'd really like to see them shift more to conifers and a little bit less to cam oak and others. And these are all things that I, having an interest in agriculture and natural resources is something that I want to let people know that I would have the expertise for that on the board that nobody else would have. It would be kind of a characteristic of how I'd look at Mendocino County that I think would be really useful.
Okay. John, any topic that you're passionate about that we haven't covered that you want to get out? John Kennedy, real quick.
Lots. And there's no real quick to that one. I've kind of touched upon the fire districts. That's kind of a non-jurisdictional matter for the county, but still they serve the same people, and it's very important. So maybe we'll talk about this wildland fire hazardous vegetation ordinance that kind of popped up. Kerry Brown sponsored an ordinance to help make sure that our homes were safe from fire. And it's an enforcement issue that we've been talking about since I was a paid firefighter in Bodega Bay in the 80s, and this is nothing new that we've been talking about. I want to talk about how we can actually get the local fire districts more involved in this activity to help enforce weed abatement, brush abatement, and we need to fund them. We need to fund them more than we have. So I guess my passionate topic is I'm going to drive home the need to make sure that our fire districts don't have to rely on pancake breakfast as much as they do.
All right. And callers, they're all stacked up, but we've only got a few minutes left, so I'm sorry. Got to be quicker on the dime next time. But we're gonna do a wrap-up, I think, now, because I'm going to give each gentleman of the candidates 2 minutes to wrap up, bring home your point as to why you're the best candidate for this position. So let's start with Glenn. You want to give us a 2-minute wrap-up?
Sure. So, you know, if I'm honored as your elected supervisor, I promise you that I'll show up prepared and work hard. I'll think creatively. I'll bring my thinking cap with me all the time because that's what I've done for the last 33 years. I'll make good decisions based on research information. So I'll always look for a good solution that maybe somebody already has thought through and has a good example. I'll always consult with knowledgeable people. I won't just come up with whatever pops into my head. I'll always talk with people who know good things. I have the endorsement of Kerry Brown and Public Health Officer Andy Corin and Ukiah City Council Mayor John Juan Orozco and retired Ag Commissioner Tony Liniger, MCOE Superintendent Michelle Hutchins, and a broad base of supporters ranging from Farm Bureau, County Employees Unions, the Women's Political Caucus, the Sierra Club. So I have a really broad base of people who know me and kind of trust me because they've watched me for the last 33 years working on things, and they know that I'm productive. You know, my followers may be really different in many ways, but we all love living in the First District. We think this is really a special place. And I realize that I can't do this job alone if I'm elected. I'm always going to be looking for input from everybody, even the people who don't vote for me. And listening to your concerns will always be a top priority for me. I think Mendocino's a little poor in cash, but I think we're good in diversity and ideas. My past leadership experiences have helped prepare me for this position. And, you know, I'm asking you to vote for me in the upcoming elections. And thank you very much for this opportunity to KZYX has provided to reach out to voters.
Glenn, can you give us give the listeners contact for information if they want to follow up? Everybody can go to KZYX and go to our search election, and there are previous interviews with you guys. But if somebody wants to get information for you about you, where can they get that, Glenn?
Well, McGordyForFirst.com is my website, and they can also reach me at GlennMcGordy@gmail.com.
Okay. All right, John Kennedy, give us your best two-minute spiel, and there you go.
I don't know if it'll be my best, but it'll be a spiel.
There you go.
Thank you. This was fun. So I've been fortunate enough to live a life with many experiences. I've been down that road, the same road as most people. So when I make policy decisions, I make them, most of them, based on understanding the personal consequences that come with those decisions. When we talk about building homes, I've pulled over a dozen permits just last year. I know the process, I understand the system and rules. So when we discuss that item at the board level, no one will know more about it than I will. When we talk about adverse childhood experiences, statistically, I shouldn't have sniffed any of the successes I've experienced, because I've lived adverse childhood experiences. I know the consequences of decisions that make it worse or better for children with those problems. When we talk about fire EMS, I was a firefighter. I flipped pancakes for new equipment. I've saved lives. I've lost lives. I put out fires. I've delivered a baby in Spanish. When we talk about jobs, I've created jobs. I am a job creator. I've been an entrepreneur my entire life. I create jobs out of thin air. When we talk about education, local hospitals, affordable housing, you name it, I've had a part in advocating and improving these things. So when we talk about choosing a person who will fiercely advocate for the 90,000 lives in Mendocino County, I'm that guy. So support me if you want. If I don't win this election, I will still be a strong member of our community helping it succeed.
And again, John Kennedy, how can people get access to more information about you?
My cell phone number is 707-489-4647. I've had that same number for 22 years, which is really weird. JohnKennedyForSupervisor.com is my website. And I have so many email addresses, but those two will get you to me.
All right, gentlemen, thank you both for coming on the air and being accessible and having this Mendocino-style debate. And I wish you both luck and move forward. All right. Thank you so much to both of them. So just a quick, some information for listeners. I will be back again on Wednesday evening at 6:30 to have the district supervisors that are running for the second district. That'll be Mari Roden and Mo Mulhern. And I will also be back Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock, and we're going to do a wrap-up on the, oh gosh, here we go, presidential debate. If you tune in, we will be broadcasting that, and we'll be doing a, 2020 high insight, sitting on the couch afterwards talking about it. The other thing is we are in the middle of a silent drive here at KZYX&Z. So if you've been listening to this kind of programming and you enjoy it, you've learned something, and you like it as much as we do, would you please take the time to go to our website, kzyx.org. There's a donate button. We also are at P.O. Box 1 in Philo, or during the day you can call us at 895-2324. But do give and stay tuned.